Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia. This weekend, Greensboro is hosting the Comic Book City Con. The convention is presented by Acme Comics and will feature top comic book artists, musical performances, panel discussions, activities for the entire family, and, of course, plenty of comic books. You'll find more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. My guest today is Rachel Scott. She's the organizer of a panel discussion at Comic Book City Con called Geek Girl Rising that takes place Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. The panel will be a celebration of women in comics and fandom and features women who are making a serious impact in an industry and culture that has been primarily male-dominated. One of the featured artists will be two-time Eisner Award winner Hope Larson. Triad Arts Associate Producer Bethany Chafin spoke with her earlier this week, and you'll hear that interview in just about 10 minutes. I met Rachel Scott at Geeksboro Coffee House Cinema, a very cool coffee shop and theater in Greensboro that she runs with her husband, owner Joe Scott. Rachel is also a teacher at Guilford Middle School, where she has organized a comic book club for students. Geeksboro has a life-size TARDIS, the iconic time and space traveling police box used by Doctor Who. I had hoped to conduct the interview in the TARDIS, but unfortunately, this TARDIS is not bigger on the inside than the outside. So what is your part in the Geek Girl Rising panel discussion at this weekend's comic convention?
Well, when I found out that we were going to have our first comic book convention here in Greensboro, Joe and I were talking about how females haven't been historically represented in comics very much. You do have more female characters, but when it comes to female creators, you don't see a lot of female names coming up on the comic books. It's a very male-dominated business, even more so than just regular print. But that is quickly changing thanks to the internet, thanks to websites like themarysue.com. You have a lot more of a female presence. Also, you know, with people being able to put their products out there using Tumblr and using other websites, there's a ton of webcomics out there. Females are able to get their names out a lot easier. If they have a product that's really humorous, if they have a comic that really speaks to a lot of people, then they're going to get it out there.
Why do you think in the world of comics is still generally a boys' club?
Well, it was never marketed to females. I think that it was always marketed to males and to children. I don't think that they ever appealed to females because it was also in the vein of science fiction. There was always stories for guys like that had to do with myths and monsters and later on with aliens. It just never was really marketed to females. Females didn't buy those kinds of stories, and so they just continued to market them to males.
So what's changing now?
With the internet, you just see a lot more females out there that weren't getting recognized before. People's portfolios are all just out there. And people can judge those portfolios a lot more equally. And I think that's really helped a lot of really talented female artists out there who otherwise wouldn't get their work recognized.
So the name of the panel is Geek Girl Rising. So for the layman, how would you describe or define, you know, geek girl or geek girl culture to someone that's not in the know?
A geek girl is a female who is really interested in something very specific, whether it is in the vein of art or science, just anything really, whether it's Ninja Turtles or biochemistry, it doesn't matter. You know, she has a special interest that she loves and that she wants to geek out about and that she can geek out with anyone. And I think that's something that people have been coming to terms with in American culture and on the internet. You know, people have been realizing, oh, wait, you know, this is a girl creating this web page. This is a girl making this discovery. And, you know, women have really had a bigger role in science and in the arts, more so than people realize.
So what effect do you think the, you know, ubiquity of today's geek culture, you know, with stuff like Marvel's The Avengers being one of the highest grossing movies of all time at this point, you know, the popularity of Doctor Who just gone through the roof, and you have children's shows like Adventure Time, which I kind of view as almost like a gateway drug to that kind of culture. What kind of impact and how do you think that's changed the landscape and specifically for young women?
I think there's just this message of inclusiveness it started kind of simmering, I think, in the 80s. Like, I remember, you know, being a kid in the 80s and watching things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and She-Ra, where you have, like, these strong female characters. Like, even April O'Neil, you know, she's out there and she's getting the story, you know. Or She-Ra's on equal footing as He-Man, you know. You have these strong female characters that started in the 80s and only became more popular as time went on.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the panelists on the Geek Girl Rising discussion. Who are the Double Clicks?
The Double Clicks are a geeky musical duo. They're sisters, and they're from Portland, Oregon. And they have come out with this really amazing music video called Nothing to Prove. And in Nothing to Prove, they basically just asked everyone on the internet if they could submit just a short couple-second video of girls holding up signs about geeky interests that they have and different things that make them a geek or a nerd. Basically showing that girls shouldn't have to prove that they like something as much as a guy. You know, a guy can be wearing a Star Trek shirt, and just because he's wearing that Star Trek shirt and be like, hey, yeah, you like Star Trek, that's awesome. But then if a girl's wearing a Star Trek shirt, they're like, well, you don't know about Star Trek, you know, what? Tell me about this Klingon planet, you know, and girls will be sort of grilled or quizzed about these things just because of their gender, whereas guys don't have that kind of pressure or that kind of scrutiny. You know, if a girl is deemed attractive, then she can't be considered a geek. People make assumptions like, oh, you just like that because your boyfriend likes that, you know. And so a lot of that is addressed in the song and in the music video. And it had a big impact on me and on a lot of other women. And we really look forward to having them down here.
Yeah, and we'll post a link to that video on our website, too. I think everyone would enjoy checking that out. And speaking of online, the panel is going to be moderated by Susanna Polo, and she's the managing editor of themarysue.com. Could you tell us about that website?
Yeah, themarysue.com got started back in 2011. All their information is really current, and they really act as a good voice for the geek girl movement. Also, the things that they report on vary just across the geek spectrum as far as, you know, video games, science, comics, movies, all of that is covered on their website. And so it's kind of like a one-stop shop for geek girl news and culture.
There's going to be a few artists on the panel as well.
Yeah, Hope Larson is one of our feature artists for the panel. She created the amazing Geek Girl Rising poster. She is really an inspiration. She's from Asheville, and she's a two-time Eisner Award winner. An Eisner Award is sort of like the Oscars of the comic book world. She's created a lot of comics that have to do with friendship and all of the pains and the tribulations of growing up. She's got a really unique style. We're really excited to have her and to exemplify her work. She's really going to have a lot to talk about when it comes to being treated equally as a female in the comic book industry. You know, when it comes to like Marvel and DC, the top two comics houses, they only have like about 12% female writers and creators between the two. And that's pretty pitiful.
That's changing though, somewhat, right? But if women aren't represented like they are in independent comics though, still at Marvel and DC, right?
No, yeah, women are represented a lot better in independent comics. And I think that I'm hoping that Marvel and DC are seeing that difference, and we kind of see the trend where Marvel and DC are bringing in a lot more independent artists, including females, into some of their, you know, more mainstream stories like Hulk or Spider-Man, because they see that people want that difference in style.
Do you have to be a certified geek to enjoy the comic book convention, or is it for everyone?
Absolutely not. No, anybody can enjoy a comic book convention. And I think that Comic Book City Con is definitely a really good starter con if it's something you think you want to get into, but you're not sure. Everything's going to be really well put together, and there's going to be something for everyone. It's very family friendly. The roller derby is going to be there. all kinds of different activities for families will be there. So I think it's probably one of the more affordable conventions too. So, you know, I think it's going to be fun times had by all for sure.
Do you have a favorite comic book character?
Probably, well, if we want to go, you know, mainstream superhero, probably Rogue from the X-Men.
Why is Rogue from the X-Men your favorite mainstream comic book character?
Well, just because, you know, I'm a big fan of the cartoon, and she was really cool in the cartoon, and she's a redhead like me, and she has a lot of issues and a lot of problems with her powers, but she's actually a really powerful character, and I like that in comic books how, you know, a lot of female characters that actually have these amazing powers, but they have problems controlling their powers, and they don't really know what to do with them sometimes. I think that's very reflective of females in real life, too.
Well, it seems like in mainstream comics, X-Men really has handled women characters really well, and like Chris Claremont did a really good job for a long time with women characters compared to other comics.
That's definitely true. I mean, X-Men as a whole is about diversity, and it's about inclusiveness, because people don't like the mutants in the X-Men universe because they're different. You know, X-Men just, you know, has this whole theme of acceptance.
Do you have any advice for young girls who might be into things that might be considered geeky, but, you know, might be hesitant to embrace it due to any kind of, you know, social stigmas that might be around that?
Definitely, because, you know, I have a comic book club at Guilford Middle School where I work and teach, and we actually have more females in the club than males. And it's really tough being a geeky girl. I was definitely, you know, a geeky, weird band girl out there. And so, you know, my advice would be, you know, just find other geeky girls if you can, or, you know, just embrace other geeks, you know. And that's the other thing is, like, don't be afraid to talk to geeky boys either, because they're usually fine to talk to. I know a lot of girls who, you know, they have their own characters and their own universes that they create, but they're hesitant to share them with others. And I think for a lot of young female artists, if they want to get out there, they need to start their own Tumblr page. They need to be able to digitize their work and put it out there on the internet and spread the word that way. And that's something that I'm working with my students, is being able to get their work out there and sharing that with the rest of the world.
Rachel Scott. The Geek Girl Rising panel takes place at this weekend's Comic Book City Con in downtown Greensboro. Be sure to stop by Geeksboro later Saturday night for a post-convention bash featuring the Double Clicks. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Triad Arts Associate Producer Bethany Chafin interviewed Eisner Award-winning artist Hope Larson earlier this week, and Bethany's here to tell us all about it. Hi, Bethany.
Hey, Eddie. Thanks. Yes, I did get to chat with Hope earlier this week, and I have to say, she's one very cool lady. She's won 2 Eisner Awards, and these are basically the equivalent for the comic book world of an Oscar. So her first was in 2007 for special recognition, or you could say talent deserving of wider recognition. And this year, she won an Eisner for Best Publication for Teens for her graphic novel adaptation of Madeleine L'Engle's A Wrinkle in Time. So she's known for her illustrations and comics, but most recently, Hope wrote and directed a short film called Bitter Orange, starring Brie Larson. Hope's actually originally from Asheville, North Carolina, but now she lives in L.A. with her husband. And so she spoke with me by phone from her home in California. One book I wanted to start with, the book A Wrinkle in Time, is near and dear to me, as I'm sure it is to a lot of people. I was wondering if you had a relationship with that book before you started the project of adapting it into a graphic novel.
Yeah, that book was a really big deal to me growing up. I think that was maybe the first sci-fi book that I read, or one of the first ones. Her voice as a writer and those characters really got to me, and I went on to read the rest of the Time Quintet. And those were books that I read and reread through my childhood and adolescence. So it was an incredible honor being tapped to work on the graphic novel adaptation.
What is it like to adapt a work rather than maybe start from scratch and create something that's your own? And I know that your adaptation is your own, but is it a completely different process, or are there some similarities?
it's both really similar and really different from writing something original. In terms of the writing, the script that I did includes pretty much everything that's in the book. Very little was taken out or changed at all because we wanted to stay true to the novel. It's like, it's a beautiful novel. And if you start taking stuff out, it just falls apart. And we didn't want to mess it up. So I definitely felt like my hands were tied, but, you know, I wanted them to be tied for the writing part of the process. But when I sat down to draw, it felt the same as drawing any other book that I've done. You're using different parts of your brain. It's a completely different process than writing.
What else were you reading as a young girl that inspired you?
As a kid, I read C.S. Lewis's work, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and those books, Chronicles of Prydain by Lloyd Alexander. I read some Tolkien. I read a lot. I was one of those kids who would go to the library and come home with like 15 books and read them all in a week. So I don't even remember half the stuff that I read.
When you were younger, whenever you started drawing and writing, what came first? Was there a first? Was it the image that came first, and then maybe you realized you wanted to be adding some writing to that? Or were you a writer and you realized, I can really bring this to life with some pictures? Or have those elements always been kind of intertwined?
I have early memories of dictating stories to my dad and him typing them up, and then I would do the illustrations. I guess before I even knew how to write, I was working this way. Yeah, I think for me, it starts with the story for sure, but I'm always writing with an eye to it being a visual story later on. So that's always the goal, is fitting the pictures to the words. I've never written a novel or anything. I've never really done prose, but I've written a lot of scripts. I've written screenplays, and I've written all the books that I've drawn. I think that I'll probably write a novel someday, but I'm so inspired by the interplay of words and pictures that I kind of want to stick with that for the most part.
You mentioned writing scripts, and I recently watched Bitter Orange. What was that experience like, making a short film?
It was amazing. I actually did a year of film school, my first year of college, and it wasn't really the right time for me to be working in that medium, I don't think, as a person. But coming back to it at 29, 30, 31 has been really fantastic because I feel like I've grown into myself, and I'm much more comfortable being in charge of a crew and working with actors. And I'm playing with a lot of the same ideas of words and images that I am playing with in comics. So it feels like a fairly natural sidestep.
Do you plan on doing more film in the future?
I'd love to, yeah. That's sure. Definitely the goal.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave comics or anything, but I would love to do both, to write and direct for film and to continue writing and drawing comics as well.
What are you working on currently?
Right now, I'm working on a two-book series, and it's a middle-grade pirate adventure set in 1860, so it's a rollicking, like, high seas sort of thing. I'm working on that with Rebecca Mock, who's an amazing illustrator.
There seems to be, in the illustration and comic world, there's a lot of collaboration that goes along. Is it about kind of finding the right person that you have a great chemistry with? Is it about how you relate to the work?
It depends. I think it really depends on who you're collaborating with. And I've been really fortunate to find Rebecca because we work incredibly well together. You know, I try not to step on her toes too much as an illustrator, but, you know, guide her here and there. And she also does a lot of research on her own and brings her own ideas to the script. So if she has an idea for something, she'll shoot me an email and we'll talk about it. And usually her ideas are amazing. So I feel like we're both enriching the project. And it's going to be something really special and probably better than if either of us was doing it alone.
Tell me a little bit about what you're perhaps expecting, if you have any expectations, for the Geek Girl Rising panel this coming weekend.
I know it's going to be really fun. Everybody that I've talked to who's involved with it has been great. And I actually just met half of the Double Clicks at Geek Girl Con in Seattle, which is where I was this past weekend. So I'm going from a Geek Girl event this weekend to a Geek Girl event next weekend. And we'll have some of the same people at both, and it's going to be really fun.
I don't think you can probably have too much Geek Girl.
So. I don't think so.
Well, on the subject, like, how would you define that term for someone who is hearing it for the first time?
I don't especially go in for labels like that myself, but it's definitely a badge of pride for a lot of people. And what it means to me is just someone who has a passion for a certain medium or sci-fi or gaming or comics or anything like that. They're passionate and they're knowledgeable, and they want to share that with the world.
When you wrote about receiving your Eisner, you mentioned a lot of the up-and-coming female talent in your industry, that there were just kind of amazing things to come from them. Could you talk about maybe who some of those people are?
I think I mostly mentioned people who are friends of mine who are not even so much up-and-coming
as already.
They have come. They have arrived.
Right, and they were others who were perhaps nominated or not, but, you know, worthy of an Eisner, I think you mentioned.
Yeah, well, they're just so many amazing female cartoonists working right now. Meredith Grand, Lucy Nisley, Erica Moen, Dylan McConis, Vera Broswell, Jillian Tamaki, and Mariko Tamaki. It's just it's a wonderful time to be a woman working in comics.
Illustrator and cartoonist Hope Larson. And before my conversation with Hope, Eddie Garcia chatted with Rachel Scott, who organized a panel at this weekend's Comic Book CityCon in Greensboro. The panel's called Geek Girl Rising, and it will be a celebration of women in comics and fandom. And the event begins Saturday, October 26th at 3 p.m. Hope Larson will be one of the panelists, along with the musical sister duo, The Double Clicks. You can see one of their videos on our website. And Susanna Polo of the online news source for geek girl culture, The Mary Sue, will be the moderator. You can find more information on Greensboro's Comic Book CityCon on our website, WFDD.org. And once you're there, you can click on Triad Arts Weekend. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, David Ford is back with violin soloist Kevin Lawrence for a live in Studio A performance here at WFDD. You're listening to Triad Arts Weekend.